Have you ever seen someone do really well and wonder how on earth they managed it? I found myself asking that very question at times, and now I want to uncover the elements that go into creating success, influence, connection, and most importantly, happiness in people's lives. My friends, welcome to the High Performance Human Podcast. Welcome one and all to the High Performance Human Podcast. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was supposed to have a guest with me just now, but they kind of had other things on. So instead of sucking on the lemons, let's make some lemonade and let's do a review of all of the podcasts, some of the amazing conversations that I've had up to this point. I tell you what, when I first started this podcast, I did it as a bit of a branding exercise, right? A little bit of me time in this whole world of self-promotion and branding and all this sort of bump. What I've found, though, is the purpose that this podcast has given me is quite remarkable. And in part, it's because I've stumbled into something that I genuinely love. Asking questions is like the best thing ever, I reckon. As much as I talk, geez, I love listening as well. But as well as that, gang, the conversations that I've been privileged to be a part of with some of the people that I've had them with has been something that money can't buy. Not only have I managed to help a few of you guys, I've helped myself a tremendous amount. It's been a trip and a half. And so I thought we'd go through a few things that some of my guests have really helped us to find out and discover in our search for what high performance is in the context of our lives. Now, there's a few key themes that have been a little bit consistent, more so than others. So I thought I'd break down a few of them for you and highlight a couple of things that some of my guests have said that really go hand in hand with those key themes. First one is curiosity. Curiosity is something that has been absolutely prevalent in most of the conversations that I've had to date on this show. One was through Amanda Stevens. And the personal development side of things and the vulnerability side of things, the understanding and the search through, the divulging into one's own vulnerabilities cannot be understated. With Amanda, it was a very physical, very mortal vulnerability when she nearly lost her life. And the lessons that she took from that in understanding that we were all ultimately vulnerable to this thing called life means that she needs to make sure that she makes the most of every single effort that she has. Every single shot on goal, every single talk that she has as an award-winning speaker across Asia and the world, Amanda makes sure that she doesn't take advantage or sort of, you know, be a bit blasé about any of them. She makes damn sure that that is the most important moment in her life at that point in time. Another thing about curiosity is having a curiosity of the world. And this was really summed up tremendously well by our very, very first podcast guest, Samantha McLean. And what Samantha talked about, which really put a lot of this into context, was that we always bang on about, you always hear a lot about IQ and EQ, right? So intellectual intelligence and emotional intelligence. But there's a third one that is becoming very, very prominent in society, and that is AQ, which is the adaptability quotient. The understanding that we will never know everything, and therefore the habits and the mindset that we need to have in order to really maximize this time in our lives requires us to have a sense of adaptability. And in order to be adaptable to the world, we need to be fully understanding that we don't know everything and that things, as soon as we do think we know everything, shit's going to change. So the ability to be adaptable to the situation that life throws at us is really, really important. I thought Sam McLean, she really did highlight that brilliantly well. Now, the second key theme, which is a relatively obvious one, but it's been said in a whole bunch of different ways, is consistency. Now, I've been playing and marinating on this word consistency because it's been said to me a fair few times now. And I was having a conversation with one of our guests, Shanna Kennedy, only a few days ago. So plenty after the podcast episode. In the episode with her, Shanna really talks about being aligned with a purpose and a vision. She holds the importance of having a vision as number one on the priority list. If you don't have a vision, the hell are you doing any of this for? Now, in order to be consistent, we need to have a vision. But in order to go chase the vision, we need to have a level of consistency with our performance. And it really does make me think about the word loyalty a fair bit. Because if we're to be consistent, consistency and discipline tend to go hand in hand in a lot of conversations, right? But what I've sort of started to think about is, well, if we're not loyal to our vision, how on earth are we going to be able to be consistent and have the discipline on those days we all have where we're going to get tested? So marinate on that one, team, because consistency is a real key theme in all of these conversations. But it really does beg the question, how loyal are you to your vision? Now, the other part towards having loyalty towards that vision, it was summed up beautifully. And it was the most simple definition of a high-performance human that we've had to date on the podcast. And of all of the high-profile or CEOs or, you know, all these big wigs that have got all these real cool job titles and all that sort of stuff, it was Francesca Dean who came up with one of the most simple and yet one of the most beautiful definitions of a high-performance human that really highlighted the need for loyalty towards a vision. Having been born and been brought up with cerebral palsy, Francesca has no other choice other than to be loyal to the vision that she can still have a normal life. If she becomes a victim to her own conditions and circumstances, her life will not be worth living. So she's been forced by Mother Nature to hold on, white knuckle, to a vision. Her definition of a high-performance human, which is ingrained in my brain, is to keep turning up. Now, Francesca has very little choice other than to keep turning up. Most of us who are absolutely blessed with choice don't understand that sometimes that choice can be a burden. We shouldn't really have a choice in this. If we're to become high-performing humans, our vision needs to be one-eyed. It needs to have a loyalty to it that is free from distraction. Francesca's got more excuses than most of us to fall away from her vision. And yet, she's one of the few people in the world that does not waver from that vision. Now, the third key theme that has been really bandied around in a whole bunch of different ways has been awareness. Now, Dr. Sarah Bell talks about self-awareness and self-development and self-propriety when it comes to really understanding who you are and what you're about and why you are and all those sorts of things. And we had a really good conversation about the topic of self. But if we were to knock that self part away and just focus on the awareness bit for the time being, awareness of the moment that you are in is something that cannot be understated. My conversation with Kay Bretz, the German Aussie ultra marathon runner who runs for more kilometers than we would do in our lives in one sitting. He treats marathons as a little training exercise, right? Incredible guy. But we had a really good conversation around a particular moment in a race that he dedicated a lot of time and effort into because he really wanted to win that one. And he found himself 300 kilometers in, pretty much, and got lost in the bush. in the dark with snakes and all sorts of crap creeping around his legs, his feet and his legs. And it was through that experience that he really sort of identified that we are trying to really dissimulate and consume two realities. There's the actual reality, the physical, tangible, black and white reality that we find ourselves in. We are lost in the bush, in the dark. What do? And then there's the second reality, which is our interpretation of it, the emotions around that reality, which basically turns into a second reality. Now, what we talked about in that conversation was tremendous because he mentioned that if we can be aware of who we are and where we are in that moment, enough to just slow things down just a tiny, tiny bit, then it allows us to separate those two realities and deal with them in the order that we are more likely to be wanting to deal with them in. I.e., deal with the actual reality first and then deal with the emotional reality afterwards. It's a lot to process, right? If you get caught up with a curveball or a problem or a drama or whatever the case may be, trying to really work out what's going on whilst working out and hearing and feeling the emotions that are coming as a result of that thing, it's a lot to take in. And it really is a lot to interpret and a lot to process. But what Kay mentioned was brilliant in the sense that he had every right to throw his toys out the pram and crack the shits. But he understood, he managed to slow things down in that moment, have the awareness of the moment to understand that he needs to deal with the practicality of this situation because it could get dicey real quick. And then afterwards, he allowed himself the chance to process the emotions of the whole thing. Now, Rick Rushton, who is one of my favorite guys on the planet, great, great guy, owe a lot to him. He talked about the importance of how we need to be aware of our own strengths and how partnerships help once we are aware of what our strengths are. He says to me, and he says it all the time, that there are no successful hermits. Jim Rohn talks about the fact that if you aren't prepared to take a risk, if you aren't prepared to put yourself out there, then you might as well go sit in a corner, put a blanket over you. We'll make sure that you're fed and safe. Well, that is not an existence. That is not a worthwhile existence. Rick's version of that is the fact that there are no successful hermits, and being aware of one's own strengths and therefore one's own weaknesses allows us to see who we can work with to help complement each other in order to gain a level of interdependence. It's the purpose of the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. And a lot of people kind of miss that point with that book. They tend to focus on the 7 habits, but the consequences of hitting those 7 habits is interdependence, which is something that takes our lives to a whole new level. If we try and do everything by ourselves, then we're just going to be limited by our own inadequacies. And being aware of what those inadequacies are and then pairing it with the vulnerability that we talked about earlier, you open doors for your life that you wouldn't even realize would be possible. The fourth one is sustainability. And Sam Gordon, who was tremendously straight talking, and I love my conversation with the energy that that lad has, is pretty phenomenal. He's got structures and systems in place, much like an athlete, perhaps, that allows him to work with a level of sustainability that most of his competitors can't do. And paired with that, which is something that Amy Callister mentioned, was the absolute need to have some self-preservation around what you're doing and who you are and how you go about your life. She says that we all have highs and peaks and troughs, and it's okay to have both. But understanding that in order to be sustainable, in what it is you want to achieve, we need to make sure that our own vehicles, our own mental, physical, spiritual well-being is more than looked after, because otherwise we will burn out very, very quickly. I've had a lot of personal experience with that one, I can tell you now. I've often talked about nice guys versus good humans, and nice guys do finish last. Make no mistake about it. And the reason why they finish last is because nice guys tend to ignore themselves. They will sacrifice themselves for the betterment of anyone else that's around them. That's only sustainable for a short period of time, gang. That's why a lot of nice guys tend to end up feeling very, very lonely. Good humans are the ones that still do things for people, but have boundaries that allow them to look after themselves first. It's that really standard cliched analogy of, when the gas masks fall down from the airplane, you put yours on first before you put anybody else's on. Otherwise, you're useless because you'll end up running out of oxygen. It's an analogy that gets put around so often, but it is the most simple analogy to help people to understand that if you don't sustain yourself, you're not going to be any good for anybody else. Really important, that one.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Rita, Real Estate Training Australia. Shane and the team genuinely care for the success of all of their students, not only providing them with the qualifications to enter the industry, but the skills in order to thrive. With 24-hour online support, access to one-on-one training sessions, lifetime access to industry mentors and support, as well as free job-ready training programs for anybody that gets their qualifications through their portal. They're a tremendous outfit, and they want to make sure that everybody that comes into the industry stays in the industry. For more information, make sure you head to their website, www.reta.edu.au.
Now, the fifth one is clarity. So we've got curiosity, consistency, awareness, sustainability, and this last one, clarity. Now, when I had my conversation with Danielle Weber, who is a human that I have so much respect for how she goes about her life. She's an artist who was told at school by the art teacher that she will starve if she tries to become an artist. I mean, what teacher says that to their students, man? Seriously. Need a slap. But Danielle knew who she was from a very, very young age. She knew that she was born to have a paintbrush in her hand. And because she knew intrinsically who she was and what she was and what she was about, she took complete ownership of that. She said, get stuffed to the art teacher. And as a result, has The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, commission a piece from her that she then had to deliver onto the red carpet of Black Adam's world premiere and reveal to The Rock in front of the world. That is an ownership of self like no other, just from what I've seen personally. And if you follow her on social media and all that sort of stuff, you'll see exactly what she's about, who she is. And it is undeniable as to who Danielle Weber is. Now, the other part to clarity is having a level of commitment. And it kind of goes hand in hand with the loyalty piece that I mentioned earlier. But it's mind and soul committed. The most emotional conversation I've had to date was with Jovino McLean, the personal trainer who has dedicated his life from the age of 16 towards helping people with permanent disabilities. I cried at the end of that conversation. And the reason why I cried is because the level of unwavering belief and commitment that he has in who he is, what he is about, why he's been put on this planet is, it was the most powerful moment in a conversation that I've had of this kind in my entire life. The energy and the gravitas, for want of a better word, that he has in who he is and how he goes about it and how committed he is. He could be making a shedload more money. Lots more money. He's got over 600,000 followers on Instagram alone. He could be doing a hell of a lot more financially. But that's not what he's about. He is committed to making people redefine their boundaries through exercise. Those with permanent disabilities. How I met Francesca. He helps people with cerebral palsy, with brain tumors, he helps stroke victims. He helps those that are destined for the big pearly gates. Terminal patients. He takes them and he gives them a lease of life that they probably didn't have before they'd realized that they had terminal illness. The power that comes with that, gang, is undeniable. I've been marinating on that conversation ever since I had it, and it was a couple of months ago now. That's a secret sauce, gang. That last one right there. That's the secret sauce. If you have that tip-to-toe belief and commitment and a clarity for why you are destined to be in existence on this planet, you are unstoppable in your pursuit towards achieving high performance. Hands down, and this is with no detriment to any of my other guests, to have a guy from Manchester move me to tears with the level of commitment that he has, like, who can do that? It's an undeniable power and a strength that if we can bottle that up, we would actually be unstoppable. Now, those are your five key themes that I've heard consistently throughout the podcast episodes, right? So curiosity, consistency, awareness, sustainability, and clarity. But I wanted to highlight a couple of challenges, key challenges as well, that have been relatively consistent. The first one is imposter syndrome, relatively obvious one, but it's something that is probably one of the most common challenges that we all face in our pursuit of what we deem to be high performance as a human. Sarah Cincotta is a wonderful example of how she's faced adversity that is fed into that imposter syndrome and has burst out the other side in a blaze of glory. She knew that she was told that she was taking on the big guns in the field of education and training and development in the real estate space. Who the hell was she to be involved in that? What the hell sort of value did she have to bring? Or she's shown them. She really has shown them. Imposter syndrome is something we all face from time to time, gang, whether we're trying to go on a date with a chick or whether we are trying to put ourselves on a stage of a speaking gig or whatever the case may be. Hell, I'm sat in this studio, right? There's a big part of me that's thinking, the hell am I doing? Is this going to be of any value in any way, shape, or form? Not going to lie. But part of the remedy to imposter syndrome is not in worrying about the value that we bring. it's understanding that sometimes we're destined to maybe help thousands of people, and sometimes we're only destined to help one. Both are fine. Both are absolutely fine. Because you're helping someone. None of us, doesn't matter how big you are, whether it's Elon, Simon Sinek, Bezos, whoever, none of us can change the entire world by ourselves. Although maybe one or two of those bigwigs might think that they can. But unless I've checked, they haven't got every hand, they've not got hands on every single lever, button, thing, whatever, right? We can't change the entire world, but maybe we can change one person's world just a little bit. That's pretty cool. John Fung, who is rapidly becoming one of my favorite humans in the world, he's doing tremendous things at domain.com.au. He talked about the fact that we all have gifts. We all have gifts, whether it's intellect, energy, whatever the case may be. And when we have an abundance of something or an abundance of an ability, it is our, you know, responsibility to be able to share those things. And so if you're worried about imposter syndrome, then know for a fact that the things that you are trying to move forward with or the messages that you're trying to provide will hold value for at least one person. So it's worth doing. Now, the other two things that I thought were really, really key challenges came from one conversation. And it was, again, one of my favorite conversations with Dr. Christy Goodwin, who has a real focus on the digital world and how it affects us human beings. She talks about two things in particular. One is infobesity, becoming fat with the volume of knowledge that is out there in the world for us to consume. And the other one is the drama when it comes to having enough stress resilience to make it through any adversity. Now, breaking those two things down, infobesity is something that I was marinating on it before I had that conversation with Dr. Christie, and it really did hammer home for me that this is a genuine issue for, especially for younger people that are brought up in this social media age. The availability for knowledge through our phones is ridiculous. And it's almost, it's like that, you know how they say knowledge is power? Well, my old rugby coach, Tony Rolt, used to say that power is nothing without control. And the challenge that a lot of people have, especially young people right now, is that they don't know how to control the volume of knowledge that is at their fingertips. Infobesity is a real thing. Sometimes, and I'm sure you will have all done this as well, you start off being a bit curious about one thing, and then 2 hours later, you've gone down the rabbit hole. And you can't even remember the reason why you actually got interested in something in the first place, because you've ended up digging so deep into something that you've lost track of where you were supposed to be. Our brains are tremendously powerful tools. But even they have a limit to the capacity that can get in there at any one time. And I think that Dr. Christie said, I think it was like 60,000 messages get sent our way within a day. How on earth is the brain going to be able to cope with that? No wonder it causes a bit of a paralysis in actions that we want to take, or again, increasing the level of imposter syndrome when you see seven other people saying something similar. Pretty full on, right, when you think about it. Now, stress resilience was one that really rung true for me with Dr. Christie, because the inability to stay true to a particular mission or task or job or relationship is it's pretty obvious that we as a society have a problem with that. It is. The disposable nature of society these days means that we don't have to deal with stress all that much because balls to it, we can just go do something else. We could just go get another job. We could just rip up the marriage contract and go get another relationship. We could just swipe right a couple more times. It's okay. There's more out there. Because the world is there in the palm of our hand to be able to see that there is more out there. There is something to be said, team, for being able to handle stress. Now, mental health challenges and problems and so on and so forth, they are getting a lot more airtime these days, right? And which is a great thing. But at the same time, these mental health challenges and issues and concerns, it's not like they've only just been invented. Humans have been dealing with this shit for a hell of a long time. Do you not think that stress was prevalent in a caveman when they had some big monster thing trying to bite their heads off? That's pretty stressful, that situation. So humans have been dealing with this since the dawn of time. And yet for some reason, society these days is finding reasons to not face that stress. I'm not saying mental health issues are an excuse, but there are a lot of people that are using those issues as an excuse to take the easy path. Nothing worthwhile ever comes easy. And how Dr. Christy Goodwin highlights the lack of stress resistance that we have in ourselves as human beings these days is quite profound. Wonderful, 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 wonderful take on it. So team, there you go. A little review of some of the conversations I've had so far on this little podcast of mine. Hopefully, you've had a bit of value from them. If you have, I would love nothing more, and I would appreciate it to the ends of the earth if you could start to share my podcast with a few people. Or better still, if you could leave a review on either Apple or Spotify, letting the world know that I might have helped just one or two of you. If you can do that, that will help me to get some more incredible people onto this show that will bring you a much better, much greater degree of value. So team, I'm going to let you go for now. Get ready for my next guest and wish you all the very best. Stay safe, healthy, happy, as always, my friends. And thank you so, so much for tuning in to this little podcast of mine. And I'm really glad that it's brought you some small degree of value in some way, shape, or form. As a result of that, I'm going to keep going. And I look forward to bringing you on the journey. Take care, team. Speak to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The High Performance Human. Hopefully, we've given you enough value to justify the time that you've given us. And we've got you that much closer to becoming your version of a high performance human. If you want to have any questions answered, then please feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at Andy Reid Coaching, or alternatively, shoot me an email, andy@andyreid.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Thank you so much for joining us once again, and I really can't wait to hopefully bring you some more value in the next episode. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy, most importantly, stay happy.